When they talk about music soothing the soul, that really hits the soul and soothes and heals it. So thank you so much. The concert, you know, that we put on called We Arise, Barbara told me now with the collection of money, including the Fremont Presbyterian Church donating through us to Habitat for Humanity, it's about $5,800, almost $6,000 was raised for Habitat. So we are very thankful for that. And I wanted to introduce David Irvine as he starts walking up here. David's bio, a little bit about him, is in the bulletin, and so I'll let you read that part. But also, David's wife is here, and they have two children, a boy and a girl, and they're new grandparents. They have a new grandson, so that's the thrill of their lives. So if you ask David to show you pictures, I'm sure he'll be very happy to. It's been such a joy to work with David on the faith build that we did this weekend. And so I'm so grateful that he can share with you about it. And then we're going to show pictures after the sermon of what we did yesterday. And I'll explain a little bit as the pictures are rolling what you're seeing on the slide. So thank you, David, for being here.
Did you get David a mic?
He's got a mic on his face. Okay. Yeah, I'll move that. Sorry, you're not short like me. There you go.
I thought maybe you pushed a button and it went in.
Yeah, that would be good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am David Irvine, lifelong Presbyterian. Born and raised at Mellow Park Presbyterian Church on the peninsula. Went to a disciples college, however, but I think that was okay. And I have been on staff at St. Andrew Presbyterian in Sonoma for 26 years now. So they're loaning me out this morning. It's a pleasure to be with you. I have a dream job that I started just over a year ago. I cut back my hours at St. Andrew and went to work for Habitat as their faith partners liaison. And what that means is that prior to my arriving at Habitat, they didn't have anyone working with the faith community. No one dealing with the churches and the synagogues and the mosques. And I convinced them that they were missing a huge resource of caring, compassionate, generous people. And they gave me a three-month trial, and here it is 14 months later, so you guys are coming through because they kept me on. And I proved them right. What a terrific day we had yesterday. Man, it was fun. Many folks from this congregation, several from St. Andrew, and as Cindy mentioned, a group of wonderful high school seniors from Richmond who are in a service club and have been traveling all over the country. Probably not these kids, but this class at the high school has traveled all over the country working for Habitat, and they'd never done anything local. And they happened to be there yesterday when we spent time together. And we were moving dirt. And we were moving rock, and we were stripping forms off cement structures, and some folks were even up on the roof putting sheeting on the sides of the roof of the upper stories and up on the roof itself. And that was more than our construction crew hoped to get done. By the afternoon, we had moved to a second house, and we were putting up the trusses for the roofing. So good job. In fact, if you were involved yesterday, either in the build yesterday or in preparing the meal on Friday, could you stand so we could thank you? Good job. Great job. We worked on a Habitat for Humanity build site on West Steel Lane. We'll soon have four Habitat homes for four wonderful families. You probably know that Habitat builds houses, but I'm here to tell you that Habitat builds more than houses. We build homes. And for me, I think there's a significant difference between a house and a home. A house seems to me is a physical building, while a home is so much more. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "A house is made of walls and beams. A home is built with hopes and dreams. So Habitat and our partners, mainly the churches in Sonoma County that I work with, provide homes. We provide houses that have a address and a shelter, but we provide homes that provide comfort and security, a sense of belonging, a place to nurture loving relationships. Consider these words from the Burt Bacharach song of 1964 that was made famous by Luther Vandross in 81, and this is where I got the title of my sermon. A chair is still a chair even when no one's there. But a house is not a home when there's no one there to hold you tight and there's no one there to kiss you goodnight. Some of you who were at the potluck will hopefully not mind if I repeat myself from the other night, but I think it's important to set up the situation we're in. And many of you are very, very well aware. But let's remind ourselves that Sonoma County is the 10th least affordable county for buying a home in the nation. In the nation. Sonoma County is the 4th least affordable county in the state for teachers to buy a home. As of 2016, this is before the fires, 2016, there were 10,000 families living in poverty housing in Sonoma County. But that was before the wildfires a year ago. Sometimes it's painful to remember, especially for those of us who lost homes, what happened that night. But I just want to review. The Tubbs Fire moved through Fountain Grove at wind speeds of up to 68 miles an hour, which means nothing to me until they put it in these terms. 68 miles per hour is the length of a football field every 3 minutes. 3 seconds, rather. 3 seconds. These enormous wildfires burned for 23 days, and the results were catastrophic. 1,000 homes were lost in Fountain Grove, more than 1,000 lost in Coffee Park. 1,500 homes built in the Rincon Valley, Mark West, Larkfield, Wickiup. We also lost nearly 5,000 homes in the Sonoma, Glen Ellen, and Bennett Valleys. The total was more than 5,000 homes ruined, many businesses gone, and or have closed their doors because of fire damage. 56,000 acres were charred, and 23 people lost their lives. But the devastation didn't stop there. Many families were under or uninsured. Many people found themselves unemployed as a result of their business being closed. And 38,000 undocumented workers didn't even report their losses because of their fear that FEMA would turn them in to ICE and they'd be deported. So we have no idea what the 38,000 people lost. And it should be noted that Sonoma County was already suffering a severe shortage of licensed contractors. So the task before us is huge. But the people of Sonoma County, as you well know, have shown themselves to be strong and resilient, generous and compassionate. As those prolific posters state that are all over the county, the love in the air is indeed thicker than the smoke. Sonoma Fire Battalion Chief Mark Bask was quoted as saying, the recovery will be a marathon, not a sprint. And I know that Habitat for Humanity is in it for the marathon. And thank you to Church of the Roses for joining us in the marathon. At Habitat, we currently have 32 homes in our pipeline. Pipeline meaning anywhere from in the very beginning planning stages to the 3 homes on West Steel Lane that are nearing completion. We hope to have those families in by Christmas. There are 32 other homes in various stages. We're building 50 wildfire cottages, especially or exclusively for fire victims. The first 10 of those are going up on the Medtronics property in Fountain Grove. A Presbyterian church in Hillsburg has donated us land, and we'll be putting wildfire cottages in Hillsburg as well. So we're doing a lot. We're also quite involved in rebuilding projects for people who can't afford to repair their damaged homes. We're in there doing that. And we're building 6,300 feet, that's more than a mile, of fencing around the Larkfield Wiki Up area so that people can have their privacy as they rebuild. Habitat supplying the labor. Northern California Ford dealerships are paying for all the other expenses. So we'll need a lot of labor to build 6,300 feet of linear feet of fencing. So we love that Church of the Roses is a part of that, and I hope we'll continue. Habitat for Humanity was born in rural Georgia. It was not started by Jimmy Carter, by the way. But it was started in rural Georgia, and Jimmy Carter was in on it very, very early, like in the first year or two. Now, the southern states and those in the Midwest, as you may know, are quite a bit different from California when it comes to church. It's said that people in the Bible Belt commonly ask, which church do you attend? Whereas the most common question in California is, you go to church? According to the 2016 study in the Press Democrat, less than 20% of people in Sonoma County identify with organized religion. And how many of those 20% are doing what I call walking the talk? And how many are just riding the pew? It's a biblical mandate that we walk the talk. We find this obligation throughout the New Testament. Both Jesus and Paul preach walk the talk frequently. 1 John 3 that we heard earlier, and I've mixed up my pages. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his love for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. You just made it disappear. My dear children, let us not talk about love. Let's practice love. In James 2, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew gives us the golden rule and the basis for Paul's preaching. Here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you would want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up the entirety of God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. Love your neighbor as yourself. Sonoma County may have a very small number, less than 20%, who identify with organized religion. But we can have a huge impact. The mayor of Santa Rosa recently said, removing the faith-based community from our city would leave a huge gap when it comes to the intense effort to help people in need. The impact of our local churches in Santa Rosa is immeasurable. That's from the mayor. I can't begin to tell you how grateful we all are at Habitat for Church of the Roses. You've all been wonderful partners. Earlier this year, your church hosted a homeowner interest meeting where people who came to find out if they could qualify for Habitat housing. And that was wonderful that you opened the doors to those people so they could come hear what we had to say. Last weekend, you had that spectacular concert. I'm sorry I missed. And Alan Petker was here. You saw my bio that I'm his associate conductor, so I know Alan quite well, and I've spent a lot of time preparing choirs for Alan, so it was kind of cool that Turnabout was fair play, I think. So thank you for that concert and all the hard work that went into it and your generous spirit and your offering. And then, of course, yesterday we got sweaty and we got dirty and we got tired and I don't think anybody got irritable. I didn't see that. No. And we all played well together, but we worked hard. And I've already heard stories this morning, for those of you who worked, about how good that shower or bath felt when you got home, because it was hard work. So I'm excited about our partnership, and I can't wait to find out where this partnership is going to go between Habitat and Roses. I want to close with one more quote. I have been fortunate to lead 5 mission trips to El Salvador, not through Habitat, but through St. Andrew. We've built schools, we've built community centers, we even built a training bakery for children with Down syndrome in El Salvador. And through my trips to El Salvador, I've gotten to know the writings of a gentleman there by the name of Archbishop Romero. He's a Catholic archbishop who was assassinated in 1980 as he was celebrating Mass. He's up front breaking the bread, and someone killed him during the bloody revolution in El Salvador. But this is a quote from a prayer that he wrote, and I'd like to close with it. Obviously translated from the Spanish. The kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it's even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom of God always lies beyond us. But this is what we're about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds that someone else has already planted, knowing that they hold future promise from yesterday. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We can't do everything, and there's a sense of liberation in that. This enables us to do something and do it really well. It may be incomplete, but it's a beginning. It's a step along the way and an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not the master builder. We are the ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets, prophets of a future, not our own. Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to show a few of the slides first, Althea. Sorry, we're going to show a few of the slides of what we did yesterday. So this is David giving us the instructions when we first arrived. The group listening intently to him. And you see go back to that one a minute if you can, Norm. The one behind that, the one where we're listening intently, you can see the two houses right behind, and those are the two that we worked on the most. What's interesting is the people getting these houses have to put in what they call sweat equity, and they have to put in 500 hours of work with the people helping build the houses. And so we got to know Amy and Roberto and Jennifer because they were all there, and they were working on each other's houses too, which is a lovely thing to see. Then this is just me and David getting ready. These are people inside, and that's Amy and her daughter in the window there looking towards us with hard hats on. And here's Chris Rhodes doing what he does best, besides preaching, of course. He does that well, too. And there's Matt Caniff came, Ruth's husband came, and there's Dana. They're working together on the sheeting outside. Norm again. And that's Dennis and Bob Serrani and Steve Fenner pulling off the forms off the cement. There's just a long distance shot now. And then we did rest a little bit. So there's a rest at lunchtime with everybody having a rest and eating some lunch. Two different groups of us, under two different tents. So, and that's Chelsea. Chelsea and Bajan came and helped out. And Barbara Nelson was so good to have a couple of young people that she knows from Oakmont came also. Colin and his girlfriend. What's her name?
Danielle.
Colin and Danielle. Yeah, they were there too. And that's the night before at the potluck. This is the family that received the house in the middle. And that's Julie on the right. She's what was called the assistant foreman and safety nag, is what she called herself. She would remind us how to be safe in what we were doing. And we have talked about yesterday, continuing, these families would love to be in these homes by Christmas. The house in front has 7 children in it. That one's been restored. But these 3 houses, there's 2 kids in each one in the middle, I think. And then there's 5 kids in Roberto's house. So altogether, there's 9 children hoping to be in these houses at Christmas. And that would be such a wonderful gift to give them. So we were saying maybe we could go at least one Saturday a month going forward and go as a group again and help out. At least every month, you know, 2 times more, I guess it would be. So Church and World will talk about it, and I'll talk with the crew that has already been there, and we'll see what we can do about going again. And if you all want to just come by and get involved by talking to people, building relationships with the families, too, is a wonderful gift to give them. I feel like I have a new friend in Jennifer now. We went to get the lunch sandwiches for the crew yesterday. And Dana told me a great story. The foreman, the main foreman, when we first arrived, I heard him say to one of the other staff on Habitat, "You better put off the permit inspection because I don't think this group is going to get that much done today." He basically said that. And by the end of the day, he told Dana he was so impressed with how much work got done, what the quality of work was, and how wonderful the whole group worked together. So we surprised him with the work we did. And so that was so wonderful to hear. So let's give David a hand, though, for all that he did to organize. Yeah. Couldn't have done it without him.